fire. Myself. And I won't have Tony up here, but not yet, but shortly. I was going to have Andy up here, and I'm going to use a blindfold, but I figured I wanted to give her the privilege of not seeing me, because once I took the blindfold off, she'd be stuck with me again. So I don't want to do that to her and give her false hope that I got better looking. So I figured Tony, he's a guy. Oh, talking about that, no, this is gross. And unfortunately, well, actually, it is unfortunate in my state, because I didn't want to preach on soul winning or anything of the sort, because I seem to always beat the dead horse. But unfortunately, it needs to be continually to be beat, because I wanted to preach on about the church and the importance of the church, but God didn't care one bit about what I wanted. So we're going to do soul winning, and we're just going to come at it at a totally different angle.
Or angle, not angle. You know?
That's on you, X-ray, Travis. But my title is, O Truth, Where Can You Be? O Truth, Where Can You Be? And we live in a world where everybody is searching for truth. Everybody wants truth, and they even invent their own truth. Everybody wants truth. If I break the mic by making it shorter, we're in trouble. So we'll see if I poke myself in the eye with it. So we're going to go to I'm making up my own verses already. We'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And the thing is, the original key text I told Jess about, yeah, God didn't like that idol either. That got changed. So it's okay. So, O truth, where can you be? I don't like this thing. It's freaking me out. All right, so I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. I will read, then we will pray, and then we'll see where truth is. All right. Therefore, seeing we have a ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. So we'll bow in prayer and see what God does, because I need all the help I can get. Dear Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, for the men that come before, Lord, and I'm grateful they prayed for me because I need it. But Lord, I just ask that you're with us right now, Lord. I ask that you're in the midst of us, Lord. I ask that you convict our hearts, Lord, and change lives. Lord, I ask that you change my life because I desperately need this and have strayed away from this as my being fervent on fire for this, Lord. And I just ask that this illustration and these verses, Lord, that had what you'd have for us, Lord, and I believe that they are. I just ask that you'd prick our hearts, Lord, and turn us and set us on fire, Lord, that fire would come down from heaven and you do a great work. And we're trusting in you and know that you can do a great work, Lord, because you are the God, creator of the universe. And let's ask you, Lord, to do a great work and work in our hearts and change us for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to take it off because otherwise it'll make me upset the whole time as it's falling down. And I don't want to use this, but my wife likes, oh, you should record it. So I record it. Because I don't want to hear myself. I heard myself on a radio recently. I was like, ah, turn it off. My ears were bleeding. It was terrible. So, O truth, where can you be? And it says, who is hiding the truth? In the text of habits, we're talking about the gospel, which is also truth. So I don't want to be distorting anything too bad. But it's just a fact of the whole world is seeking and hunting for this truth. That's why it was funny with the flashlight. I was going to bring a flashlight. I had a Surefire, which they're potent, and Tony understood it. He was like, ah, away from the kids' room. But see, the thing is, I brought the flashlight because everybody goes around in the world, and they look for truth, and they're looking everywhere they can go. Where could this truth be? And they go to all these different things and all these different vices and all these different things to find truth, to the extent that they're willing to make up their own truth or become their own truth. Remember that one woman we talked to, Pastor? She's like, oh, I'm righteous on my own. I'm righteous my own ability. And she was trusting in her ability of goodness as truth and her own God that she'd made. And she had a ring on her finger. She's like, that was a big part of my religion. It's like, you're trusting in a trinket as truth? She lost it. I was like, oh no, your truth is gone. Now what? And that's where the world is at. And it's fearful. So I want to talk about one, you know, oh truth, where can you be? You know, I fear it was a good thing to sing. It might stick in your head. And I can't sing well. But I'll go back to my text. It says, who is hiding the truth? I think everybody here knows. I'm not going to tell anybody anything new that you have not heard once by a pastor, by me, by anybody who's been up Grace's pulpit, or anybody you've listened to, we've gotten to see. There's nothing new. I'm just trying to come at a different angle that maybe stir you to do something. Because there's a desperate world that needs the truth. And all of us here who were born again, who know Jesus Christ, know what truth is. I want to show you things from the scripture that what truth is. And I just came up with a few different things that what people are looking at truth. And I think hopefully, hope to God, because he gave it to me because I had another idea and he had a much better idea of what is keeping people. And because sometimes if you see something that it'll stick and you go, oh yeah, I got it. And I'm hoping that we get to that point, because for the church to grow, for God's work to go on, we need to reach the world, and they're dying and they're desperate and they're searching for truth, and trinkets just don't do it. So once again, oh truth, where can you be? Who is hiding the truth, the gospel? If you look back on 3 and 4 in this, and a good thing for y'all, I'm not leaving the New Testament at all. I have more verses, but we're not leaving New Testament, because if so, you're looking for me to do it, it's all bad. It would take all night. But once again, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe. Who blinded their minds? The God of this world. The God of this world is Satan. It's the devil. It's the old serpent who beguiled Eve. And he hasn't ceased from his work. And he says he is the father of all lies, which I'll show you. He says he's deceived the nations. That his whole purpose from the very beginning that we see him recorded in scripture, he was deceiving people. He was lying. He was changing the word of God, which I'll show you that he's done. He's done a very successful job at doing that by all these different things, which we'll talk about later. The thing is, the whole thing that the God of this world has done is deceive the mind of those who could and would believe, and even those who have believed and have fallen away, as pastors talked about this morning. The fact is, the father of this world, the devil, the God of this world, the devil, Satan. Yes, he's hitting on Satan, because it's great, because I'm going to beat him up tonight a little bit and hopefully take away a little of his steam, and then I'll have a bad drive home. Watch. But anyway, it says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who has? The father of this world. And who is that? The devil, your adversary, seeking whom he may be about to devour, right? But he doesn't have any teeth, which is the good thing, but he's still looking who he can take out. So it's the father of this world who's blinded their minds. So when we see things and people mess up and not in the truth and all mess up on things, who's done it? The great accuser. That is the one who's been after, against God's work from the beginning. But it's him who has blinded their minds. If you want to, you can go to Revelation 20, verse 3. I just want to show you, this is just showing who I'm pointing a finger at, that the scripture verifies that it's true. And this is not even the end of Satan that I'm going to talk about in this verse, but I want you to go there real quick as I desperately flip to it. I have to get back through my concordance, because that's where I got saved out of. Not really, but it sounds good every time. All right, so Revelation 20, verse 3. It says, and this is Jesus Christ, and he's judging them before the millennium kingdom at this point. And it says, actually, I'll give up one. It says, and he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more. That he should deceive the nations no more. And that's just what we want to show. And to bring the ideal that He is truly out there trying to deceive the lost. He's trying to deceive the very elect if he could. So he is the great accuser. He is the one who is hiding the truth. And by all means, he has his own minions and people. And people will be bought out and sold over. If you ever read the Screwtape letters, it shows, and it's somewhat fictitious and stuff like that, but it shows certain things and gives you different enlightened things, that scriptural principles. But he has his own minions and his own people, and he has his own people bought over to him that, you know, that necessarily don't worship the beast, but they worship themselves. And it's the same thing that he wants you to do. And he's drawn others astray by this. But I want you to see, he is the great deceiver, that he is the liar, that he is the one who's causing the nations to fall, that he is the very one who wants your loved ones and the people that you know and that you deal with daily to go to that bottomless pit, to go to hell. He wants them not to find the truth. That is not his purpose. He wants to deceive the nations. He was a liar from the very beginning. John 10:10, if you want to go to with me. John 10:10. It's even better. It's closer to the other way I was going. I'll be able to find it. Woohoo. So we'll go to John 10:10. And I'm going to just show. The reason I want to show this, I want you to see it again and again. I want you to remember this. Because Christians so often fight against themselves and point fingers. That's not who the battle's at. It's the world and it's Satan. That's who we fight against. That's who's stripping the truth away. It's kicked out of the schools, out of the public houses, out of the courthouses. And it's all the works of the devil. It's the principalities of the air that we don't see. And that is the enemy. That is the enemy. That is the enemy. That is the enemy. John 10:10. It says, the thief cometh. What is the purpose? The thief here is talking about Satan. He came in another way and not through the door. But it's talking about his purpose again. So first said he deceived the nations no more. So currently, until that time comes, he's deceiving the nations. And he's going, blinding their minds that they wouldn't see the truth, which is the gospel, right? So this is Satan's purpose. This is the one who's hiding the truth. The thief cometh not but to steal, or for to steal, to kill, to destroy. What's his purpose? Steal, kill, and destroy. So that doesn't mean that he wants your loved one saved, does it? No. He wants to destroy them in the end if he could. If not, he could steal the truth from them, right? He's a thief. There is no good virtue in Satan. It's like, wow, he's dressed really pretty, but he is a deceiver. So it doesn't matter if he's dressed pretty and sprinkly and sparkly, because it says he can be turned into an image of light. He's still false. There's no truth in him. When he speaks, it says he speaks of himself, he speaks of the lie, I think it says. When he speaks of the lie, he speaks of himself, for he's the father of it. The fact is, he's the author of lies. He's, you know, it says Jesus Christ, right? And it says, like, when God leads, there's no confusion. But when Satan leads, it's nothing but confusion and darkness. So he's the very one who is the father of lies. He's the one who's trying to hide the truth. So now he's hiding the truth. Now, I want to go to the next thing, but I want to have Tony come up here for a minute. I'll put this up for 1 second. Thank you, Tony. Tony came over to my house yesterday, poor guy. Otherwise, I wouldn't have thought of him. I love Tony very, very much. He's a godly man, and his computer geek like me, so that makes him even better. If you take out the glasses for him, you won't need them anyway. But you'll be blind. I give it to your wife for you. Okay. I'm all right. I called him up and asked him about this, and he volunteered for this. All right? Yeah, he volunteered. He wasn't volunteered. That's your type. No. See, if you had no hair like me, it would be painful because it would be like falling out. If it was like Mark, then it would be blinding them. Who is hiding the truth? Satan is, right? The serpent who's beguiling, right? And he's going to continue to do so until he's cast in the bottom pit. Then he's going to come up later and he's still not going to quit. But who it is? It's Satan who's blinding their minds that they might know. So Tony is blinded right now because of Satan. Because he's not her friend. He's the adversary. Satan is hiding the truth with. I want to talk about some devices. I want to reread the verses again real quick. For whom the God of this world hath blinded their minds of them which believe not. What do they? They believe not, right? And they were blinding their minds, lest. So, in other words, if Satan of this world did not blind their minds, this would be the outcome. So it says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So that's what he's trying to stop, is the image of Christ shining upon them, that they'd see the light, that they'd be saved, that they would believe. So he's blinding their minds so they cannot. So it says, what is it, in 2 Corinthians 2:11, I'll go to that real quick. I just want to read a verse. And this is something that we were told that we shouldn't do. This is the way that, not what we should do, what we should do, so we don't fall into this trap. It says, Satan is the bad guy. Remember, Satan is the bad guy. Remember that. Not us, not the guy next to you. Satan, that's the one we're fighting against. It says, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Us, who? Us, the believers. Right? It says, for we are not ignorant of his devices. That we should not be ignorant of his devices. That's why the apologetics that pastor's doing right now is awesome. Because it's going to help us to reach other people, because we're not going to be ignorant of the devices, the traps and the footholds and the pits that he's trying to get the unsaved or the people who play religion, which we'll talk about, to fall, to slip and to fall and get away from the truth. Because us, Christian, little Christ, is supposed to reach them with the truth. So we were not to be ignorant of the devices, because lest he should believe on Christ and be saved. But he's going to blind his mind that he doesn't. So that's what we're going to avoid. So first is false religion. If you want to go to Mark with me, I'm so grateful it's all in the New Testament. We'd be in trouble. That Old Testament confuses me still. So we go to Mark 7. Mark, if you can quote it, we'll take it, but I don't think it's going to happen. I couldn't do it either. So we'll go to Mark chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. He answered and said unto them, well, hath Isaiah the prophet or prophesied to you, hypocrites, as if written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me? They worship him in what? Vain. Right? Worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines and commandments of men. What we should have is God, but they're teaching doctrines of men. And that's not good. For laying aside the commandments of God. So they have the commandments of God and they're going, laying them aside. So it says right there, is laying them aside. And you hold on to the traditions of men, as washing the pots and the cups and many other such things as you do. And it says again on verse 9, and he said unto them, Full well ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. So this is false religion. I just want to go to that because it's a good illustration of it. They're doing all these things, all these outward actions and all, but they're going in their own traditions, their own ways and everything else. This is one thing that the devil does use to cause distraction from the truth. It's false religion for people living pious lives, which there's nothing wrong with doing that if it's in with Christ. But if that's all you do, if you go to church and play church and, you know, oh, I pray 10 times a day, the Muslims are very good at doing this. And it's not even the right name for God. It's not even the right God they worship or a prophet or anything else. But they're playing church. They're playing religion. And they're no closer to God than Satan himself is, except for he's up there on the throne. But he's not going to heaven. He's going to be cast in the lake of hell. Because he's the adversary. Remember, bad guy. He is the hider of truth. And you will be the revealer of truth, which we'll talk about. But the fact is, false religion is one thing that the devil uses to beguile people, to get people off track and away from the truth. False religion is one of the stumbling blocks. Another one is wisdom of men. 1 Corinthians, if you want to go to 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 3. Hopefully I'm not taking too long or boring you too much, because if so, I'm really, really sorry. So you know I'm about halfway through, so that means it's good for you. Get home and play in the snow, or at least on my hill I will. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. 17 through 21. If any man defile... I hope I did that right. I don't think I did. That's not good. 17 through 21. Yeah, I did. All right. I take it back. If any man defile the temple of God, he himself, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which is the temple you are. Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool. So the wisdom of this world is no good. It's foolishness with God. So it says, let man deceive himself. Yeah, deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For if it is written, he taketh the wise in his own craftiness. It says again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, and that they are vain. And what happens is we have these colleges, and I'm not against college, and I'm not preaching against college. We have these philosophy classes, and these teachers, and they're like, I have wisdom, and you ask, and they don't know anything at all. Well, it all depends on how you feel. See, they use the wisdom of men, and people go to men because it's just what we are instantly. We're followers, not all of us, but a lot of us are sheep. That's why I always refer to us as sheep. And people go about and follow. Well, this guy seems like he has a really good plan. He sounds smart. I mean, and how many people have we heard about that have, like, were psychologists and doctors? Oh, this is how you raise your children, Dr. Spock. And he destroyed a whole generation. That was the wisdom of this world, rejecting the counsel of God. And this is the simple fact is that the devil will use man's wisdom. And man's, I am so smart. That's not true, Annie. Don't believe it. You might forget later. But it's like, you know, I'm so smart. It's like S-M-R-T, you know. It's like, I'm so, but see, the thing is, man's wisdom, the men go to, because men follow men. The next get-rich-quick thing, as you know, being a business, it doesn't work usually too well for him. So the thing is, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, I got smart, and it didn't work. But anyway, see, the fact is, it's like man's wisdom that man follows to, and you'll never get truth there, because it's man. And it says, you know, our thoughts are not his thoughts, neither are our ways his ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are his ways. It's the same thing. God's ways are better than our ways. He's smarter than we are. He has the plan and the blueprints. So we'll never find man's wisdom on earth to get us any true truth. There may be truth mixed in, but it's not absolute truth. So we have false religion and man's wisdom. Wealth and riches. So we're going to go to Matthew 16 on verse 12. Matthew 16, verse 12. And I am there. And it says, then understood they how... Nope. Did I give the... I did. I went to the wrong thing. Oh, well. So anyway, I do apologize. The verse that I was going to is the fact that if a man should gain the whole world, yet lose his own soul, what profit does he have? And it's the fact that pursuing riches and wealth in this world, because people say, well, if I get financially secure, or if I get this next great thing that's out, or if I can make it secure for my family, which isn't a bad thing to do. You should do that. That's being wise. But if it's outside of Christ, and that's what you're trusting in, is your truth and your security, it's not going to come to you, because it's like what as Matthew said, you know, you're born naked, and that's how you will return. So the riches of this world and the things of this world are not truth, and all the things they lead to are not truth. 1 Timothy, if you want to go to 6:20, and I'll get back to you, Tony. So 1 Timothy 6:20. There we go. 1 Timothy 6:20. It says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. So that's something we all should do. We was talking to a pastor who says, keep that what was given to you to your trust and keep it. And that was the word of God. So we'll talk about that, but you know, keep that to your trust. But this is the warning. But avoid profane and vain babblings and the opposition of science falsely so called. And this one thing I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on. You've heard it again and again, and pastors have been teaching about it. But the fact is, people have turned to science as truth because science itself is supposed to be truthful. But unfortunately, as we learned in this world that we live in now, science itself is not always so truthful. And they cover things. And all. Not all science and all fields of science and all scientists are bad, but evolution and this ideal that you were a monkey is not truth. And people base their entire philosophies. They treat medicine. They do it in school systems. They do psychology. It's polluted every field of science, and even things like business that have nothing to do with it. You know, he is weaker than you. We must kill him. You know, that's not truth. And it's all off of lies. It's taking the truth and twisting it to what they want it to be. It's allowing them to reject the Lord God that bought them. Because at that point, they've rejected the truth, the real truth, that God did create the heavens in 6 days, the heaven and earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh, that we were made in his image and him were to glorify. And it's not us, because it leads right to humanism and everything else. And that's what he wants, because then it exalts us like God, just what Satan wants. But the fact that this science, falsely so-called, and the fact is that's not truth. So my friend over here, the world, we're friends right now, but us over here in the world, he's been deceived by false religion. He's been, you're freaking me out. So, but he's been deceived by false religion. He's been deceived by man's wisdom. He's been deceived by riches and wealth and security that's false. And he's been deceived by science and what he's been taught in school, and the whole world shouts to him. And see, the thing is, because of this, the devices of the devil, and these are just a few, there's many, but these devices has blinded him. These are the things that the devil's used and our generation has used before. He can't see that light. He has absolutely no idea what he's looking for. He's lost. He's looking anywhere he can go, any bit of truth. The funny thing is, if you get something that looks okay right here, and it's like, all right, well, I looked on all sides and it seems safe, and you start building off of that, even though it may be false, the end of it's doom. That's where a lot of these false religions and things do that, because they build off of a premise that seems, when you look at it, okay. But if you follow the chain as far as it goes down, well, this is this, this is this, and do a chain of reasoning, which nobody teaches reason anymore. They have no idea what reason and logic is. But see, the thing is, if you follow that path, it's destruction, because it's not true. And they've blinded their minds. So what I want to do for my next thing before I get into where is the truth, but I want to show this. So I'm going to put the mic away. You may not hear me, Annie. But it's okay. Okay, I'll point it this way. Hopefully I'm not taking too long or boring you too much. So this right here, but this is the world, and what I did, he's not going to find it. If he does, the first time I'll be mad and make him put it back. But I put Jesus Christ in here, I think twice, and put a whole bunch of other nonsense. And what it is this, and it's just things with different things that people trust in as truth, as what they appear to be truth, or what they trusted in, or what they're seeking, or when they find what the devil's devices are. Some of it's meant to be funny, so if he finds it, I can laugh at it. The rest of you are like, he's weird. Yeah, that's no different. So Tony, if you would, in our raffle that you should lose, go in here and reach in the bag. That's not... No. Alright, go in the bag, pull one of them out. I want this one, okay? Christian Science has the right name, but it's not true. So trust in Christian Science and our ability and all that weird healing stuff. Next one. Reach in the bag. This is like the worst rap in the world. It's like the lottery. You never win to pay in.
I got it.
Some guy in a trailer over this. 7 Day of Venice. They're close, but they're not true. Go and do this a few more times. I won't get through the whole bag because we'll be here all night. Reach in again. I hope he finds the one because it's so funny. We got 2 more shots at this. After this. Good works. We talked about that today. It's not going to work. Next. You are a horrible, good thing you're not a embedded man.
Yeah. All right, this is it.
Okay. Self-indulgence. That doesn't work. Got one more shot here.
Oh, come on. That would be so much fun.
It would be. Oh. But the end of it is death and destruction. You don't want that, do you? So this is broken progress. You're witchcraft! You are lousy. What, the one hope he got was Jedi. But he didn't get it. Let's see here. One shot. Self-help books. Thank you, Mark. All right. So, as you can see, his success rate being blinded was not very high. And I mean, it's a bit of an exaggerated illustration, but it's what the world is doing. You're groping around trying to find truth and hold on to anything that has the least bit. And some people are, unfortunately, not educated enough that they can't even do that. It's like, yeah, I'll take that. Oprah's great. Not so good. But anyway, so he just wanted to demonstrate that as the world goes around, they go all these false things and these things that aren't true. Now I want to show you three things from the Bible that are absolutely certain that are truth. That absolutely every way, shape, form, color is truth. Okay, so here we go. So we'll go to where is the truth? So first off, I'll reiterate, who's hiding in truth? Awesome. What is he using to hide it? False things and lies, right? Since he's the father of them. So where is the truth? We need to know where the truth is. That's what it's all about. Oh, truth, where can you be? All right, so we'll go to Jesus Christ is truth. Amen. Can I get another amen? Amen. So who here believes that Jesus Christ is the truth? Amen. Awesome. Tony, you're the world. Stop it. Now you're making me a liar. Go to John for me. John chapter 14. John 14. It's in my Bible somewhere. I didn't cut it out this week. So John chapter 14, verse 16. Did I do this again? Six. There we go. I add extra numbers. Thank you. And Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. The truth. I am the way, the truth. The what? The truth. Because we're looking for truth. So who is truth? Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth. Yeah, I should have realized I said the life after that. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that means there's no other means underneath the sun, for Ecclesiastes' sake, that they're going to get to the Father. There's no other truth outside of Jesus Christ. So Buddha, Muhammad, and what was that crazy thing you said? I forget that guy who was like that, whatever. There's like this crazy guy who's like, oh, Krishna. Yeah, Krishna. It's like, they're not truth. There's only one truth. It's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by me. So there's no other means. Jesus Christ is the truth. And everybody here who's saved knows that personally, that Jesus Christ is the truth. The Word of God. The Word of God. This book is truth. This is truth. This is the Word. And Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh, which both are truth. So I told you three things. So it says, Jesus Christ is truth. We'll go to John 17, 17. Now I can find that, unless I got it wrong again. So it says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus Christ, the word that was given, is truth. So every word of that Bible, every jot or tittle, which we don't use that anymore, so you can say every word because we don't have jot and tittles. But every word of that Bible is true. So when we're wondering about, oh, where's the truth? Oh, truth, where can you be? It's the word of God. Oh, truth, where can you be? It's Jesus Christ. So truth is Jesus Christ and the word of God. But there's more. And this is the best part. I love it. Because this is where everybody's all messed up today. The church is truth. If you go to 1 Timothy with me, chapter 3. And we'll get back to you, world. He's been so good about this. I told him I'd have him blindfolded most of the message. So you'd have to imagine that I looked good. I should have put Annie there. It would have been better. Did I do it again? No, I didn't. Okay, I'm good. I keep looking at the wrong place, aren't I? I went to 6. It's not in 6. It's in 3. Oh, Kara. So it is 3:15 in 1 Timothy. You guys probably found it before I did. I get lost. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church. That's not a place we go to meet together. It's not somebody's house unless you have all the things required to be a church. It's not a Bible study. It's not hanging at your friend's house reading the Bible, which are all good things to do, but it's not the church. It's not a called out assembly in a biblical pattern, which God uses. He has candlesticks in, but I'm not going to get into that. So it's not just whatever we want to do, or it's not a universalism fellowship. The church is a bunch of born-again believers together. But it says anyway, it says, how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, not the dead God, the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. So God's instrument on earth is the church, which is the ground and pillar of truth. His word of God that he has, which is thy word is truth, which is the Bible, and Jesus Christ is truth. So now we've just figured out what the truth is. So we were over here going, world, right? You were like, oh no, what am I ever going to do? This isn't working too well. The Satan's deceiving me. Then after Satan deceived them, we figured out it was him who was deceiving us. And we figured out all the devices that he was using to deceive you and all the falsehoods. Then we found out what the truth is. It's Jesus Christ. It's the word of God, the Bible, and the church. And these are the things that God uses on earth to do his work. Besides, I missed one thing. Us. So he has all these things, but just to have them and not have us would eliminate the church, and then nothing would get done because we'd just have a book there and Jesus Christ, nobody would be here. So he needs us. And it's not that he needs us because he's helpless. He needs us because he's chosen to use us as his instruments that he's sanctified to send into the world. So we have the world here who's lost, and he's tried all these things. So what he needs at this point now is somebody to come over to him and go like this. Wow, Satan's been blinding you, but let me show you something really, 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 really awesome. You see this right here? This is the word of God. Yeah, you might need them. But this is the word of God. And in this has truth. That thing that you've been looking for, that reason why your life hasn't been working out well and all these bad foundations, this right here is truth. I can show you from the Bible, God's word, which he's kept. It's every single word. I can show you that what is in here is truth. And I can show you that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to heaven but by him. See, that's my job. God's done the word. He's instituted the church, right? And he sent Jesus Christ, right? So now it's up to me as a part of that church to go and bring the truth to a lied to dying world that does not have truth. So the thing is, I'm not going to actually go to all the verses because I've pretty much beat this horse and you all look really bored, but I want to give you the references and say what they say. But it says, what should we do with the truth, O Christian? You know, O truth, where can you be? What are we to do? We're commanded to, in Matthew 24:14 in the Great Commission, to take it to all nations. It's everywhere. That's every part. That's why missions are so important. That's why the gospel must be preached to all nations before it says it's coming. It says it must go to all nations. Everybody needs the gospel. If not one person is going to get off this earth alive without it. It's up to us to go to all nations and give the gospel to them. So it's our job to go to all nations and preach the gospel because we have the truth. Then it says that we need to preach to every creature. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not some, not the ones we choose to, not the guy who's all cleaned up and pretty and we think will be a benefit to our church or our lives. It's to every creature. It's to the vagrant, it's to the poor man, it's to the prostitute, it's to the liar, it's to the thief, it's the guy in jail, it's the murderer. It's to all people. Christ died for all mankind. God would have none to perish, but all come to repentance. It says that God has no happiness, no rejoicing in the death of the wicked. He does not want that. God wants all men to come to repentance. But we must go and preach it to every creature. We must go to every nation and preach the gospel. We have the truth. In this very building, we have the truth. We are the pillar of it. We possess the truth, and we have the truth within us, and we're commanded to go. Then where else do we need to do? What else do we need to do, oh world, for the world? It says we got to go in the highways and the hedges. That means the streets, the street corners. That goes to synagogues. That goes to the grocery store. That goes to your neighbor's house. That goes to your neighbor above. I got a few of them, and they're really noisy. But anyway, I need to go to every single person we need to go to. We need to go all places, in the nooks and the crannies. That's why we go to Abingway. That's why we go to these some of the areas. Where is it at? I think over on 29th Street. It's gotten better, but it was bad. Not too far from here, but it was a bad area, and there were shootings there and all kind of foolishness. And that's not a desirable place we want to go to. It's like, oh, I'm going to build a great church out there. It's not what it's about. Christ will build his church. But it's up to us to obey and go and give the gospel. Because there are precious souls. They are dying. They are in a lost world. They've been deceived or blinded. It's not their fault in all regards. Because it's up to us to go. Because it says about the blood being on or off your hands. It's up to us to go. And lastly, they went in Acts 5:42. That's just they went house to house. So they took the time to go house to house. And knock and say, hey, I would like to invite you to church, which is the ground and pillar of truth. Here, let me share with you the word of God. You know, do you know the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? So what am I doing now? I'm giving them the word of God. And what all I want to do is I want to give them Jesus Christ. So it's up to me, who's the possessor of the truth, who's gone past all the blindedness and all the things of the world and been turned to Jesus Christ, to follow after him and do what he's commanded me to do. And as the church, he's commanded the church and every Christian, not just the pastor, but all of us, to go into the world and to preach the gospel to every single creature, to every person, to everybody who hears it, all nations, to the end of the world is reached, to preach the gospel. Because if not, you're going to be like Tony, with his glasses off, blindfolded, reaching in a green bag, pulling out Jedi. Why didn't you pull out Jedi? But see, the thing is, that's our job. That's what we've been commanded to do. And if we call ourselves Christians, it says, you know, that they'll know that we're his disciples by our love. And we can't say that we have love for one another and that we love our neighbor if we can't tell them the truth and give them the gospel. So of all this, with my shenanigans, I want you to grasp one thing. Actually, two things. It says usually it's three, but I'll say with two things. One thing is, the fight's not in the church. It's not between us. It's the adversary, the devil. And it's the world that's warring against the church right now. That's the enemy. It's not in this house. This isn't it. And then the second thing is, if you believe Jesus Christ is the Savior and what he says is true and that he is coming again, that you will do everything in your power to get the gospel out before his return. Because if not, there will be people who will die and who will go to hell for all eternity. And there's, at that point, when they die, it says, according once to a man died, then the judgment. There is no second chance. There is no other gospel. And by all means, like it says in Ezekiel, if they reject the gospel, it's not your fault. It's fine. You just pray for them. But if you fail just to even give it to them when you had the opportunity or God laid it on your heart, then you are wrong and the blood is on your hands. I'm not trying to cause a guilt trip. It's just the truth, and it's what the Bible teaches. So it's not me who's attacking you. It's what the Word of God says. So of all things, like I said, the fight is not in the church, and the gospel must be preached, and we must care and go after the lost. With that being said, and me rambling for 43 minutes, poor people, we'll bow our heads and we'll pray. So pastor can come up to the front because he's handsomer than I am. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this opportunity to preach, Lord. I hope that I did what you wanted today, Lord, and that I didn't lose anybody or any foolishness, Lord, but I just ask that you'd work in our hearts and have them to examine themselves, Lord, and see if they've done all they could to reach the gospel, if it's giving more to missions or if it's giving a track out to somebody, Lord, if it's just being obedient to your word, Lord, and preaching the gospel to those that they get in contact with, Lord, that they would do it. That they would turn their lives over to you, Lord, and enter the ministry, Lord, and do what you'd call them to do, Lord, and that's just go into the world and preach the gospel, Lord. And with that, I'd have Pastor to take over and close out.